Just a few more days to be filled with praise and to tell the old, old story. Then when twilight falls and I say the cause, I shall go to him in glory. I'll exchange my cross for a starry crown where the gates ring outward never. At his feet I lay every burden down and with Jesus reign forever. Just a few more years with the toil and tears and the journey will be ended. Then I'll be with him where the tide of time with eternity is ended. I'll exchange my cross for a starry crown where the days ring outward never. At his feet I'll lay every burden down and with Jesus reign forever. Though the hills be steep and the valleys deep with no flowers but gray adorning, though the night be lone and my rest a stone, joy awaits me in the morning. I'll exchange my cross for a starry crown where the gates ring outward never. At his feet I lay every burden down and with Jesus reign forever. What a joy it will be when I wake to see him for whom my heart is burning. Nevermore to sigh, nevermore to cry, for the day my heart is yearning. I'll exchange my cross for a starry crown where the gates ring outward never. At his feet I'll lay every burden down and with Jesus reign forever.
Good morning and welcome to Searching the Scriptures, brought to you by the Church of Christ that meets at Wasilla. We are located at 2061 North Merciful Circle. From the Parks Highway, take Seward Meridian, then turn right on Bogard Road. We're just past the Boys and Girls Club on the right. Our phone number is 373-5773, and our website is churchofchristwasilla.com. Come and study God's Word with us. We meet at 10 a.m. for Bible study, 11 a.m. and 5 p.m. for services, and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. Each week, we'll endeavor to help you grow by searching the Scriptures. 2 Peter 3:18 reads, "But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Please take out your Bibles and search the Scriptures with us this morning.
Welcome to Searching the Scriptures. I'm Wendell Fikes, and we invite you to stay tuned as we study the Scriptures together. We're encouraged by your interest in examining and searching the Scriptures with us each Lord's Day. Open your Bibles to the Old Testament book of Proverbs, chapter 6, and we'll begin reading with verse 16 from the New King James translation. "These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren." Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 through 19. Solomon declares wicked men and women practice six things that God hates. God hates haughty, high, lofty, and exalted eyes. God hates lying tongues who neither love nor tell the truth. God hates hands that take innocent life, hands that take life without cause, hands that murder. God hates hearts that plot evil deeds. God hates feet running with haste to do evil. God hates lying witnesses who testify falsely. God detests those who spread conflict among brethren. Furthermore, God in His time and on His divine schedule will bring them and their practices to a sudden destructive end. Observe again part B of verse 17 of Proverbs chapter 6. Hands that shed innocent blood. Hands in this scripture is a synecdoche, a figure of speech by which a part is put for the whole. Here, hands, a part of the human body, are put for the whole body of a man or a woman. Hands that shed innocent blood in Proverbs 6:17 means persons, individuals, or people who shed innocent blood. Shed is the pouring out of man's life blood. Shed refers to murder in this scripture. For example, whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. Genesis chapter 9 and verse 6. God punished King Manasseh of Judah because of the sins, according to all that he had done, and also because of the innocent blood that he had shed. 2 Kings chapter 24, verses 3 and 4. Manasseh was guilty of murder and the killing of innocent people. Innocent blood, verse 17, stands for an individual person. When Pilate saw that he couldn't prevail, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person." That just person, of course, was Jesus. And all the people answered and said, "His blood, the blood of Jesus, be upon us and on our children." Matthew chapter 27, verses 24 and 25. It is sinful to shed innocent blood, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you, so that He will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to do evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. Isaiah chapter 59, verses 2 through 7. Hands who shed innocent blood are people who murder other innocent human beings, putting an end to persons who have done no crime or harm to anyone. It's a fact that hands who shed innocent blood commit murder. Then the question must be asked and answered, what is murder? Murder is defined by Webster to kill a human being unlawfully, not morally right, and with premeditated, fully conscious, willful intent, malice, desire to cause pain, injury, or distress to another. Murder, to slaughter wantonly, merciless, inhumane, having no just foundation or provocation, being without check or limitation. To slay, to kill violently, wantonly, or in great numbers. Murder, to put an end to cause something to stop or prevent something from continuing. Note these comments about murder. Murder necessarily required that an appreciable time pass between the formation and execution of the intent to kill. Deadly weapons of murder and instruments of murder include, but are not limited to, guns, knives, deadly toxins, chemicals, or gases. Intent to kill, simply stated, murder is the fully conscious, premeditated intent killing of another person. Murder causes a human life to stop. Since murder, beyond doubt, stops human life, then we ask, when does life in a human begin? Different answers are given to this question. Most views depend upon each individual's philosophical or religious persuasion. Scholar Wayne Jackson writes, "The question cannot be answered from a strictly scientific perspective because science cannot determine anything about the human spirit, much less when its bestowal initiates personhood. There are a number of erroneous human eras and theories as to when life begins that are being advanced in the 21st century society. Though they're interesting, we don't have time to discuss them in this broadcast. When does life begin?" Jackson quotes these prominent men as to when life, personhood, begins. Note their affirmations. Conservative scholars within Christendom contend that personhood commences at conception. In April of 1981, a distinguished panel of geneticists and physicians testified before the Senate Judiciary Committee with reference to the nature of the human organism that is produced by the union of a sperm and ovum. Dr. McCarty DeMere, a medical doctor and law professor at the University of Tennessee, testified as following: "The exact moment of the beginning of personhood and of the human body is at the moment of conception." Dr. Jerome Lejeune, known as the father of modern genetics, testified, "To accept the fact that after fertilization has taken place, a new human has come into being is no longer a matter of taste or opinion. It is plain experimental evidence." The testimony of world-renowned geneticist Theodosius Dobzhansky, an atheist: "A human being begins his existence when spermatozoon fertilizes an egg." Even the late Isaac Asimov, a rabid enemy of the Bible, conceded that the human being begins life as a fertilized ovum. To purposefully destroy a human embryo is to take the life of a human being. The embryo certainly is neither fish, reptile, fowl, nor beast. If it fully develops, it will never be anything other than a man or a woman." End of quote. Biblical evidence in the Old Testament is conclusive that life begins at conception. Science cannot speak to the issue of the spirit because the spirit is a non-material entity. But the scriptures do inform us about the origin of life. Life begins at conception. "Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain." Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1. God forms the spirit or life in the body at conception. The Lord forms the spirit of man within him. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 1. "The life of the flesh is in the blood." Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11. "The bones grow in the womb of her who is with child." Ecclesiastes chapter 11 verses 4 and 5. David declared, "In sin did my mother conceive me." Psalm 51 and verse 5. David considered himself a person, me, from the moment of his conception. He wrote, "You," referring to the Lord, "are he who took me out of the womb. From my mother's womb, you have been my God." Psalm chapter 22, verses 9 and 10. David described God's care of him, even at the earliest stages of his development. "I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret. Your eyes saw my substance, yet being unformed." Psalm chapter 139, verses 14 through 16. In the Old Testament book of Numbers, the Bible says the woman was said to conceive seed, according to the American Standard and the King James Version, or conceive children, as the New King James and the English Standard Versions translate the phrase. Numbers chapter 5 and verse 28. That which is conceived is not a blob that later becomes a child. It is a child. The New Testament scriptures identify the embryo as a babe or baby. Our English word is defined as an infant, a person who is not full of age, a baby. However, and please note carefully, the word babe used in the following scriptures has a more specific meaning. The Greek word for babe is brephos, a noun, and is defined by Thayer's Greek lexicon as an unborn child, embryo, a fetus, a newborn child, an infant, a babe. Dr. Luke was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write the New Testament book of Luke. He employed not his words, but the words that the Holy Spirit dictated. Hear them. From Luke chapter 1, verse 26, 36, and verses 41 through 44. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. The virgin's name was Mary, Luke chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. The angel Gabriel told Mary the virgin, "Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son." Did you hear that? Conceived a son in her old age, verse 36. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb. "For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." John, that was to be the baby's name, a 6-month-old embryo, a baby, leaped in his mother's, Elizabeth's, womb. "Then she," Elizabeth, "spoke out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you, Mary, among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb.'" The baby in Mary's womb was none other than baby Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior of all people, Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. Babe can refer to a baby or infant out of the womb. The scriptures say there were shepherds living out in the fields. An angel of the Lord said to them, "I bring you good tidings of great joy, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. The shepherds found the infant, baby Jesus, in Bethlehem, wrapped up, lying in a feeding trough. The same word brephos is translated babies or infants in Acts chapter 7 and verse 19. Both Elizabeth and Mary conceived children. Neither Elizabeth or Mary conceived globs or tissue, but they conceived babies. From the moment of conception, in the womb, until delivery out of the womb, the embryo is alive. The embryo grows. The embryo has independent movement. The embryo responds to external stimuli. The embryo is capable of metabolism. The embryo has personhood, spoken of as me, babe, him, child. Webster Online defines abortion as the termination of a pregnancy after, accompanied by, resulting in, or closely followed by the death of the embryo or fetus. An abortionist is a person who puts an end to an embryo. That is murder by definition. An abortionist is a person who premeditates with full consciousness of intent to kill a baby, a tiny person, a living, innocent being. Abortion involves all the definition of murder in the first degree. Abortion is mass murder of babies in the womb. It's estimated that since Roe v. Wade, January 1973, that more than 55 million beautiful, innocent babies have been sucked, poisoned, and scraped out of their mother's womb. The CDC reported 664,435 abortions in 2013. That amounts to 318 murders per hour if the abortionist worked 8 hours per day, 5 days a week. Some want to put an end to life of babies even after live deliveries. January 30, 2019, Virginia Governor Ralph Northam, a pediatrician, commented Wednesday about a controversial 40-week abortion bill and in so doing said the law allows an abortion to take place after the infant's birth. Did you hear that? Abortion, according to this law that's proposed, can take place after the infant's born. Ladies and gentlemen, that's infanticide. We quote, if a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. This is Governor Northam. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated, if that's what the mother and the family desired, and then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother. Northam said, alluding to the physician and mother discussing whether the born infant should live or die. End of quote. Virginia House Delegate Kathy Tran admitted that her bill would allow for a mother to abort her child minutes before giving birth. Tran was asked if her bill would allow an abortion right before the infant was born. Tran responded, my bill would allow that. Yes. 5 persons wearing black robes do not change what God has already determined about life, death, and morality. Mark it down. Underline it on the calendar of your mind. Everything God has said will happen. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That includes those who perform abortions and those who consent to abortions and those who have abortions. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Romans chapter 14, verses 10 through 12. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35. Unless those who shed innocent blood stop their murdering hands, repent of killing innocent persons, turn to God and ask forgiveness of the sin of murder, they'll be doomed in hell by the almighty hand of God. The cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. We plead with every abortionist and every woman who's contemplating an abortion to stop before committing this brutal act against an innocent baby. Where is the voice to defend the innocent baby from the abortionist's hands? Do not shed innocent blood. Listen as we ponder what a baby might say during an abortion. It's entitled, "Mommy, Keep Me Safe." "Mommy, keep me safe. Mommy, keep me warm. Handle me with all your love and keep me from all harm. I'm only 6 weeks old today. This birthday gift of me, a pair of little blue eyes that someday you will see. I barely have some tiny ears and a little puppy nose. And at the end of both my feet, little things called toes. I'm looking forward to my life, teddy bears, boats with sails, and listening to you tell me many funny fairy tales. Where are we going, Mommy? Will we be gone all day? Are we going on a bus ride? Are we going far away? Where have we gone, Mommy? I hear noise all around. What are they doing, Mommy? I hear a whirring sound. Why are they pushing on your tummy? Please don't let them hurt you, Mommy. What are the people doing to you? Why are they dressed in green? The whirring noise is louder. If they hurt you, Mommy, just scream. What's happening to me, Mommy? Why do I want to cry? Mommy, please come quickly. They are causing me to die. Why are they killing me, Mommy? I'm being pulled apart. Everything inside of me, even my little heart. Mommy, how I wanted to hear little birds sing their song and see the butterflies go by, but it hurts and all seems wrong. Oh, the whirring noise is louder. I feel such awful pain now of your little baby. Mommy, not much does there remain. One last thought before I die. I wish that you could hear my tiny voice, my last goodbye that would be so dear. I love you, Mommy. Oh, yes, I really do. But it would be so very nice if you could love me too. Bye. Bye, Mommy. Goodbye. I'm Wendell Fikes. And thank you for listening. Until this same time next Sunday morning, we bid you a pleasant good day.
We hope you have been encouraged and will continue your study of God's Word. Please join us again as we search the Scriptures so that we may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Please remember that you are cordially invited to come and study God's Word with us at 2061 North Merciful Circle. From the Parks Highway, take Seward Meridian, then turn right on Bogard Road. We're just past the Boys and Girls Club on the right. Our meeting times are Sunday morning Bible study for all ages at 10 a.m., followed by Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. and evening worship at 5 p.m. Our midweek Bible study for all ages is on Wednesday at 7 p.m. If you have any questions concerning the lesson presented, would like additional study material, a home Bible study, or a DVD copy of today's lesson, please visit us at churchofchristwasilla.com. There, you'll be able to download this radio program and other sermons free of charge and listen on demand. That's churchofchristwasilla.com. You can also contact us by calling 373-5773. Thank you for listening and searching the Scriptures with us this morning.